There's been mud on my soul. There's been anger inside me. There's still unforgiven deeds that now it's time to free. I've been trapped inside so long. Don't remember how to live. How much of life has passed me by as I slept inside my dreams. Oh yes, sip the waters too. Let them wash all over you.
When song can spark a moment, one flower can wake the dream, one tree can start a mountain, a forest, one bird can herald spring, one smile begins a friendship, one hand claps lifts a soul. One star can guide a ship at sea. One word can frame the goal. One vote can change a nation. One sunbeam lights a room. One candle wipes out darkness. One laugh will conquer gloom. One step must start each journey. One word must start each prayer. One hope will raise your spirits. One touch can show your care. One voice can speak with wisdom. One heart can know what is true. One life can make the difference, you see. It is up to you. So that's the power of you. They say that the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Every thought is a brick in the construction of building of your character. Every thought, every emotion, every awareness, every memory, every imagination, every fancy, every dream goes a long way in building the edifice of one's personality. Baba has often said in many of the Murlis that Baba himself is Roop and Basant, and also he said that each one of you has to become Roop and Basant. They were princes, highly virtuous, but their stepmother did not like them because she wanted her own son to claim the kingdom. So she banished both of these princes. They were in exile, and for a long time in the forest, they spent their time in silence and under the guidance of sages, rishis of jungle. They developed some innate virtues which were already in them. On the other side, the stepmother, who wanted that her own son should become the king, came to utter frustration because her own son proved to be unworthy of claiming the kingdom. And in the forest, Roop and Basant, they were growing in virtue every day. And it is said that when Roop would say something, flowers would emerge from his mouth. When Basant would say something, jewels would come out of his mouth. Gradually, the fame of Roop and Basant spread like a wildfire. And people recognized their worthiness. They were brought back, and ultimately, they claimed the kingdom. Roop means somebody who is the embodiment of yoga. Yoga Swaroop. And Basant means somebody who is the embodiment of Gyan. When Basant would speak, jewels would come out of his mouth. So Baba says, you should become like Roop and Basant. Basant is the embodiment of knowledge, Gyan. And Roop is the embodiment of yoga. In today's Avyakta Murli, Baba has described four types of cleanliness. Out of the four, the cleanliness of the heart or mind is your mind, if it wanders, it is impurity. This is one of the new and the greatest definition of impurity God has ever given. The wandering mind is impurity. The wandering mind is impurity. You have been given the orders. Your mind should engage in me, man, manabhav, become Roop. Or engage it in world service, become Basant. So don't think that there are no vices anymore in my mind, so I am pure. The wild wanderings of the mind is impurity. Baba said, your mind only has got two functions. Engage your mind in my remembrance, man manabhav, or service, that's it. Except these two things, it should not be doing anything else. So the entire training is of the mind. Clean mind, pure mind, the mind of a holy swan. So Baba wants us to become yogi and Baba wants us to become gyani. Often we have heard in Murli that Baba says, I love gyani children. And what about yogis? I love those who are gyani. I love them too much. Because they are full of knowledge. They have understood the knowledge and they explain this knowledge to others. Often Baba gives the example of Brahma himself. That Brahma Baba kept on relating knowledge till the last day of his life. So Gyani, Baba loves. And what about Yogi? He is the very embodiment of the Father. He is my own image. Baba says, he is my image. He is the very embodiment. He is me. It is such a beautiful thing that after Brahma became avyakt, there is a great difference in the Sakar Murlis and Avyakta Murlis. In Sakar Murlis, the glorification of Brahma is not that much about his activities, especially his actions. The glorification is about God is coming into the body of Brahma. But in all the Avyakta Murlis, Shiv Baba is not giving the example of worldly people to explain perfection. He is giving the example of Brahma. This is what Brahma did. This is what Brahma did. So you do this. But in Sakar Murlis, there are examples and examples, parables and parables, stories and stories. And about Brahma, I come in his body. That sort of glorification is there. But post Sakar life, now Shiva Baba is commenting upon Brahma. This is his life. This happened, that happened, that happened, that happened, that happened. So to explain any point of Murli, he is just quoting Brahma. You have to become free from worry. Look at Brahma. He was carefree emperor. If he has to explain something about chart, he will again quote, look at Brahma. He kept his chart. So, every now and then, here and there, God is taking examples from the life of Brahma. So, we have to become gyani and we have to become yogis. In today's Avyakta Murli in blessing, Baba has given the definition of a yogi. Who is a yogi? Who is free? Who is mukt? He has destroyed all those things that bind him. All the reasons of unhappiness and sorrows. That is a real gyani. Gyani is somebody who has penetrated his subconscious mind and seen everything, what is happening inside. Every emotion, every thought process, every attachment, every repulsion, every thought wave, and how it happens. He has analyzed and reanalyzed everything about life. Everything he has seen with his naked eyes and has come to the conclusion that everything is impermanent. I shouldn't be attached to anything. The moment attachment develops, sorrow starts. So to become gyani, to become Basant, is not about information. We have got a lot of information about God, about soul, and so on. We have known all these things. But Gyani, Gyan doesn't mean that. Gyan is a journey from information to knowledge, from knowledge to wisdom. To wisdom, to higher consciousness, Pragya. Where you understand, where you know, remain understood. Where you know that everything which is happening on the surface is just a play and you remain unruffled. Jnani is to become the embodiment of yoga and yogi is to become embodiment of Gyan. They are interconnected. Gyan means embodiment of yoga. And yoga means embodiment of Gyan. So, Gyan means to know the truth. What is true and what is untrue. Gyan is to know Shivam. What is Shiv and what is unauspicious. What is ungodliness. What is godliness and what is ungodliness. Gyan is to know what is beauty and what is ugliness. What is real beauty? Real beauty is not which is appearing on the surface. The real beauty is the beauty of the soul. So what is beauty? What is ugliness? To know this is to become Jnani. In today's Avyakta Murli Baba said, you are statues of diamonds. Think of this body as a temple. This body is a temple. And who are you? Trustee of this temple. You know, every temple has got board of trustees. So you are the trustee. You cannot put anything impure in this body. So your food has to be extremely pure. You cannot put anything which is impure in this body. You cannot put anything in this body that will make the body heavy. You cannot put anything in this body that body will go into suffering, sorrow, misery, pain, diseased. Laziness, dullness, heaviness, sleepiness, drowsiness. In this yajna, we call food by three names. One is Brahma Bhojan. Second is Prabhu Prasad or Yajna Prasad. Prasadam. And third is Vaishnava Bhojan. The third name is, this is extremely pure. You are Vaishnava. So whatever you eat, eat with full awareness, with divine consciousness. What I am eating, is it really necessary? What I am eating, is it really extremely pure? What I am I eating with attachment? Am I eating with a sense of surrender? Am I eating with the sense of gratitude for everyone who contributed to this food? Am I eating in silence? Am I eating in remembrance of the highest? Is it really necessary at this point of time? Or it is an excess? One researcher, one scientist had said, even one drop of water in the system is death, extra drop of water. One extra drop of water in the system is death. So everything you put here in this body, remember that this body is a temple. How many times they clean the temple? The big temples. You go and see. Have you seen Hare Krishna temples? Different places, ESKCON. So clean, so pure. Balaji. So many temples are there. They are very, very meticulous about cleanliness. So the temple has to be clean, kept absolutely clean. So much so that, whatever is coming out of this body should also become odorless. Should become odorless. When you move into the journey of pure food, you come to a point, you realize, you come to feel that whatever is waste which is coming out of the body, it is without any odor. It's so pure. So, jnani is to know what to eat and what not to eat, how much to eat and how much not to eat, when to put a full stop. Jnani is to know all your addictions, to debunk all the myths that you are carrying. You know, there was one dadi, Kamal Sundari. Have you heard of her? She says, I have undergone 4 births. My first birth, Laukik birth. Second birth, when I got married. That was the second birth. Third birth, when I came to Baba. And I got a new birth. And what is the fourth birth? Fourth birth, Dadi Kamal Sundari. Fourth birth. Baba had kept her in the trance-like stage for 1.5 months. She was as if the princess of Satyuga. She was in one room only. She forgot her name. She forgot everything. She used to tell, if she were asked, who is this, who is that brother? She would tell the names of Golden Age, or whether he's a king or a servant. And what was her food for 1.5 months? 1 or 2 teaspoons of milk once or twice a day. Everybody was shocked how she is surviving for 1.5 months. On just 1 or 2 teaspoons of milk and once or twice a day. That was miraculous. She says, this was my fourth birth. Baba gave me experiences of Golden Age, how the things would be there. And how she was detached from the body and this world. And later on she says that when Baba sent her for service and she reached Abu Road, she felt, who are these people? This vicious people, their drishti, vritti is so impure. She could not tolerate, because she has lived in this 1.5 months in a trance-like stage in Golden Age. Extremely pure, away from this world. So jnani is to know what is the requirement of body. Jnani is to know the tendencies of the mind, the wanderings of the mind. Jnani is to know your relationships, how pure they are, how light you remain, how much the element of contentment is then in your relationships. This is to become holy Hans. This is to become holy Swan in today's Avyakta Murli. So Baba wants us to become jnani. Jnani means the one who knows the Satyam, the Shivam and the Sundaram. Yogi means who is in tune with this Satyam all the time. The highest truth, the ultimate truth, the only truth. Who is Shiva? To be in tune with him. Roop is to become yogi. To become yogi is to become embodiment of Satyam. Be in touch with Shivam all the time. And let those purity rays, those beautiful rays, those rays of beauty upon you all the time. So, become Roop and become Basant. If you become Roop, automatically you will become Basant. And if you become Basant, automatically you will become Roop. So, they are interconnected with each other. So, follow any path. Ultimately, you reach the same goal. The path of knowledge and the path of yoga. Path of knowledge ultimately takes you towards reading books, reading Murli, writing, churning, speaking, telling others. And then gradually from reading, from jnana, you enter into the stage of magan. Magan means lost in knowledge. And that stage of magan ultimately takes you towards thoughtlessness. You begin with superfluousness of thoughts, and gradually you become thoughtless. So you enter into the stage of magan. Magan means to get lost. And in the stage of yoga, again you begin your journey with thoughts, with words, and gradually you enter into that stage of silence. So whether you begin the path of knowledge or the path of jnana, the result is silence. And silence is wordlessness. Silence is speechlessness. In that speechlessness, in that wordlessness, in that absence of sound, in that soundlessness, you touch Shiva, who is the embodiment of Satyam and Shivam and Sundaram. Om Shanti.